What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Fluency Academy's Fluency News. I'm Scott Lowe, and I am thrilled you decided to join me today to improve your English skills and find out what's been going on in the world. If you're new here, welcome. And it's okay if you didn't hear the previous episodes, because we're always talking about the week's news stories. You can still go back and listen to the other episodes to practice your listening and comprehension skills, and to get familiar with stories we might update. This week, for example, we have an update to the Myanmar story that we've been covering since the beginning of February. But before we get into that, let me remind you that we have over 1,000 free lessons in our content portal, fluencytv.com. There you'll also find the transcript to this episode, so you can read along and all of our sources. As you probably already know, it's possible that after a story, I'll come in Portuguese to explain something that might be more complicated, unusual, or unknown to make sure that you understand everything we're talking about. Sound good? All right, so let's jump in. We're going to start by visiting Myanmar again, as it had the deadliest weekend yet since the protests have started. An advocacy group reported that 22 protesters were killed by security forces in the suburb of Myanmar's main city on Sunday, March 14th. Another 16 anti-coup protesters were killed, as well as one policeman in other townships. Hundreds more have been injured, many of them critically, as security forces used live ammunition against civilians. Martial law was imposed in Hleng Thaya and another district of Yangon, Myanmar's commercial hub and former capital, state media announced. Army-run Mayawade television and security forces acted after 4 garment factories and a fertilizer plant were set ablaze and about 2,000 people had stopped fire engine from reaching them. Army-run Mayawade television said security forces acted after 4 garment factories and a fertilizer plant were set ablaze and about 2,000 people had stopped fire engines from reaching them. The Chinese embassy said many Chinese staff were injured and trapped in, and that it had called on Myanmar to protect Chinese property and citizens. China is viewed as being supportive of the military junta that has taken power. Dr. Sasa, a representative of elected lawmakers from the assembly that was ousted by the army, voiced solidarity with the people of Hleng Thaya. "The perpetrators, attackers, enemies of the people of Myanmar, the evil SAC, State Administrative Council, will be held accountable for every drop of blood that shed," he said in a message. The latest deaths would bring the toll from the protests to 126. The Assistance Association for Political Prisoners, AAPP, said. It also stated that over 2,150 people had been detained by Saturday, March 13th. Since then, more than 300 have been released.
No começo dessa notícia, eu falei que Myanmar teve o deadliest weekend. Quando eu digo deadliest, eu estou usando uma estrutura chamada superlatives. Os superlatives são usados quando estamos falando de uma coisa que é mais do que todas as outras. Por exemplo, o Monte Everest é o mais alto do mundo. O Vaticano é o menor, mais pequeno país, enquanto a Rússia é o maior, mais grande. Em inglês, é a mesma coisa. Para criar frases usando o superlativo, vamos usar o the antes do adjetivo e, se ele for pequeno, adicionamos o est ao final. Se for comprido, adicionamos most na frente. Por via de regra, palavras que contêm a partir de 2 sílabas ou mais são acompanhadas de most. No entanto, há exceções. Há casos em que apenas adicionamos EST, assim como fazemos em palavras curtas. Lembrando que a divisão em sílabas do inglês é um pouco diferente do português. Temos que observar quantos sons a palavra tem. Uma palavra longa como straight, apesar de ter muitas letras, tem um som só. Straight. Por isso, se acrescenta EST ao final dela, quando estamos falando de superlativos.
Deadly tem duas sílabas, por isso fica deadliest. Basicamente, para formar o superlativo, palavras grandes, mais de duas sílabas, você coloca esse T no final. Palavras curtas, você coloca the most adjetivo. Alright, let's move on. Now we're going to Australia, where thousands of women are marching, demanding an end to violence against women and inequality. Tens of thousands of women gathered outside Australia's parliament and across the country on Monday, March 15th, calling for gender equality and justice for victims of sexual assault. Huge demonstrations are taking place as part of the Women's March for Justice. The March for Justice was timed for the return of parliament in Canberra and provoked by recent sexual assault allegations that continue to loom over the government. The protesters wore black to signal strength and mourning and chanted, "We will not be silenced." Protesters in Melbourne carried a meters-long white banner bearing the names of women killed in Australia from gendered violence since 2008. While leaders of the major opposition political parties came out to join the crowds in Canberra, a delegation of organizers rejected an invitation to meet with Prime Minister Scott Morrison in private. One of the organizers, Janine Hendry, explained the reason for the rejection. "We've come to his front garden," she told Reuters. "We are 200 meters from his office, and it's not appropriate for us to meet behind closed doors, especially when we are talking about sexual assault, which does not happen behind closed doors." Morrison said Australia had made big strides toward gender equality over the years, though he acknowledged the job was far from done, and he shared the concerns of the protesters. However, he raised some hackles by expressing pride in the right to peaceful protest. "Not far from here, such marches, even now, are being met with bullets, but not in this country." The march delivered a petition calling for independent investigations into cases of gendered violence, the strengthening of the Sex Discrimination Act, mandatory gendered violence and sexual harassment training for MPs and their staff, and for all Australian parliaments to have a 50-50 gender split by 2030. The march delivered a petition calling for independent investigations into cases of gendered violence, the strengthening of the Sex Discrimination Act, mandatory gendered violence and sexual harassment training for MPs and their staff, and for all Australian parliaments to have a 50-50 gender split by 2030. Em inglês, nós temos plurais regulares e irregulares. Os regulares são aqueles que só pedem o S no final, como em planta. Plant é singular. Plants é plural. Os irregulares não seguem uma regrinha. Nesta história, nós temos um exemplo do plural irregular quando falamos de mulheres. Em inglês, o singular, woman, é escrito com um A e tem a pronúncia mais fechada, woman. O plural, mulheres, é women, com um E no lugar do A. A pronúncia também muda um pouco. Women, plural, women. A mesma coisa acontece com homem e homens. Man e men. Woman, singular. Women, plural. Okay, let's jump into some good news now. How about that? Very quickly, let's visit El Salvador, which has become the first country in Central America to be certified malaria-free. The achievement follows more than 50 years of commitment, hard work, and community involvement. Frontline workers and volunteers shared their stories to the Global Fund, and if you're interested, you can click the link in the description to watch their testimonies. Our final story of the day is really interesting. An extremely rare meteorite found in wake of UK fireball may contain the building blocks of life. In late February, a fireball lit up the night sky over the United Kingdom and Northern Europe. Now, locals are starting to recover leftover meteorite fragments, and scientists say they may contain the building blocks of life. An extremely rare meteorite marks the first piece of space rock discovered in the UK in 30 years, the Natural History Museum of London said in a statement. It will give researchers a peek into what the solar system looked like when it was forming some 4.6 billion years ago. They've nicknamed it the Wincombe Meteorite for the town where it landed. The rare find is the result of a fireball spotted on February 28th around 10 p.m. over the western part of the UK. The bright flash lasted about 6 seconds, the museum said. The museum is now analyzing fragments of the meteorite, which weighs just 10.6 ounces, a little over 300 grams. The special type of meteorite is known as a carbonaceous chondrite. This is really exciting. Museum researcher Sarah Russell said in a statement, "There are about 65,000 known meteorites in the entire world, and of those, only 51 of them are carbonaceous chondrites that have been seen to fall like this one." The man who found the meteorite had missed the fireball's entry and was surprised to wake up to a black, sooty splatter mark on his driveway. Researchers describe it as looking like coal, but feeling much softer and more fragile. The sample is in such good condition, it's essentially comparable to rock samples from the space missions. The museum said the rock likely holds soft clay minerals, suggesting it once contained frozen water ice. This type of meteorite stems from an asteroid that formed millions of years ago, when the planets in our solar system were forming. Scientists believe they hold precious information about our early solar system. Meteorites like this are relics from the early solar system, which means they can tell us what the planets are made of, Russell said. But we also think that meteorites like this may have brought water to Earth, providing the planet with its oceans. Eu disse ali que o fragmento de meteorito pesava 10,6 ounces. Você reparou? Como nos Estados Unidos, o Reino Unido tem sua própria medida de peso e massa. Além de ounces, que pode ser traduzido para onças, eles usam pounds e stones. Uma onça equivale a 28,34 gramas. Um pound equivale a 453 gramas. E um stone equivale a 6,35 quilos. Isn't that an extremely interesting story? And information about the measurement systems in other countries. Alright, that is it for today, folks. Remember, we have a new episode of our news podcast every week with news from around the world and explanations so you can learn while staying informed. Don't forget to visit fluencytv.com to have access to all of our amazing free content. If you're listening from a streaming platform, you can also click the link in the description to visit our portal content. E se você quer melhorar o seu nível de inglês, espanhol, francês, italiano, alemão ou japonês estudando com os nossos super professores, você pode se inscrever na nossa lista de espera. Assim, você vai ter uma chance ainda melhor de conseguir uma vaga quando a gente abrir uma nova turma. É só se inscrever clicando no link na descrição deste episódio. Só leva uns 15 segundinhos. E, é claro, se você conhecer mais alguém que quer aprender um novo idioma, você pode mandar o link para eles também. We hope you're doing well and staying safe. Until next week, peace out.